You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
On this NBA talk, thanks to Rafa El Alcalde, the Spanish voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Talking a little Eastern Conference as the Cavs going for their sweep tonight. Well, let's change over to the Western Conference, little Pelicans and Warriors, and go back to our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line. It's time we bring in our buddy Kevin Barrios, who writes for The Bird Writes. That is the SB Nation Pelicans blog. And Kevin, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm recovering. I'm doing okay. That was a bit of a beatdown last night, so taking a minute to get over it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the team still alive. At least for one more game, going back out to the Bay Area, playing Game 5 in Oakland tomorrow night. So it's funny. After Game 3, there was that glimmer of hope, and then Kevin Durant took over. If you're the Pelicans, there's so many weapons. It's almost like you got to pick your poison, right?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, especially last night they switched to starting, you know, their death lineup, which they haven't been doing, and they just stomped us down from the start. We were able to make some headway when they made some substitutions and got it within four for a minute, and then, you know, it just blew up from there. They just have so many good players. It's tough to defend them, and they're also really good on defense. So I mean, it's hard to score as well.
Kevin, when you look at this, as far as the Pelicans, I mean, again, this is a team they're going to have to run through. I mean, maybe they don't get through them this year. What are some of the things you think they can take away from this series and maybe build on?
Well, I think one thing is, you know, they need to figure out a way to get another long player that can stay on the court. You know, I mean, our starting five is solid. It's helped us throughout the year, but then when you have to defend a team like Golden State that, you know, they have Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Draymond, Klay Thompson, those are all really tall players, and then that means that you have Etuan Moore and Rajon Rondo guarding one of those tall guys, and it's just tough. I mean, not that you can really, even a tall person can defend Kevin Durant. I mean, it doesn't matter. Nobody can really guard him. He can shoot over anybody. But, you know, we have to play Drew Holiday on him, and Drew Holiday's a excellent defender. You know, he's one of the best defensive guards in the league, if not the best. And he's good at guarding up in size, but still, he's been effective against him as much as you can say anybody is effective against him. He's making his shots tough, at least. But, you know, until we have, you know, if Solomon Hill was a guy that you could count on right now, and I think he will be better than what he's showing us. He's still recovering, coming back from an injury. If we can get a guy like that who can give you quality minutes, that's not a negative on the offensive end, but is also a positive on the defensive end, that's what you have to do. But I mean, I think one thing really realistically and honestly, you just need time, because this team won't stay, this Golden State team won't stay together for that long, much longer, because of contracts and egos and stuff like that. Probably, you know, one of those guys is going to move off. So that's really what you have to do. It's like in the Eastern Conference waiting for LeBron to leave or move on or something. You know, I think that's just the what's real about the situation right now.
Well, you know, it's funny. Let's talk about a little bit of the Pelicans and the season that they've had. I mean, I think as a sixth seed, it was an amazing run, sweeping the Portland Trailblazers. To get to this point, what is going to happen when Boogie Cousins comes back? Is his future in New Orleans, or is it time to make a trade, or God forbid, I've even heard about possibly shopping Anthony Davis. What's this team going to look like?
Well, first off, they'll never shop Anthony Davis unless he tells them to. You know, that's the only way Anthony Davis will move on. As far as Boogie goes, I mean, we all love him. We want him back. I think there's a big chance that he will come back. But, you know, you never know. I mean, what if this team decides that they want to play faster, because he's obviously a little bit of a hindrance to that style of Gentry Ball. And, you know, like, I don't see any signs from Gentry that he's going to change and slow down to accommodate Boogie. So if they were able to turn him into a piece, I'm not saying I'm for that. I'm just saying I would understand if they thought they could turn him into a piece that would be beneficial going forward. You know, like a taller wing, like I was just saying, or something like that. It would have to be for like a small forward or like a high draft pick or something. But then again, you're talking about a guy coming off an Achilles, and what's his value right now? I don't know. But I think, you know, I mean, I would have loved to see the Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins combo, the Twin Towers idea, last for a whole season, because we were really hitting the stride right before he got hurt. We had just ended Houston's winning streak with Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela all playing together. I think they had won 17 games in a row. And, you know, we were looking good. And then that's the kind of matchup that would give a team like Golden State trouble. But it's just, you know, hard to know because you're gambling on him coming back full strength. And, you know, it's obviously a huge contract that he's going to demand. So I personally, I would love to see him back because I like the idea of going bigger to counteract the smaller teams and to be that different team that people aren't used to matching up against. But, you know, when you're looking at a league that's trying to mimic what the Warriors are doing without having the personnel that the Warriors are doing, you're not going to beat them at that game. So you need to do something drastically different. And that was something drastically different with two, you know, very, like two all-star players that are incredible. So I would have liked to have seen that continue. And I hope we do see that continue, but if we don't, and it's a move to get you, you know, a very quality small forward and some other additional help, then I could swallow it and understand it. But, you know, I think it's a little bit too soon to start talking about that. We're not out of the playoffs yet, so we'll see what happens.
Now, Kevin, speaking of that, down 3-1 here, and Alvin Gentry's preaching to y'all. We just got to win one at the Oracle and take it game by game. But after the punch in the face from game four, is that going to be so easy to rebound from?
Oh, it's definitely not easy. But, you know, we rebounded after game one. We played pretty well in game two. And I feel like if you look at the free throw disparity in that game, you know, if some calls went slightly different here and there, you know, that would possibly could have been a win for the Pelicans. And then we came out and stomped them in game three. So then we got stomped in game four. So, you know, I think they'll be up for sure for it. Now, obviously, playing Golden State on any court is a monumental task to try to get victory there. But playing them on their home court in the closeout game is definitely going to be extremely tough. But you got to think that the Pelicans are going to at least throw everything they have out on the court, try to come up with some new wrinkles and just be totally engaged. I don't think you'll see anybody come out flat.
What adjustments do you make for the game five? I mean, do you get more physical with the guys? Do you press more? What do you do to try to combat all the things that the Warriors can do?
I mean, we're dealing with like a. I mean, I don't want to be the guy that blames the refs, but if you look at the free throw disparity, it's like over the series, I think we're like they have 40 more free throws than us, or more than that, maybe even. And so it's hard to say that we can be physical with them because we're getting called for a lot of seemingly touch fouls, or sometimes there's been some calls where there's actually been no contact. So I don't know how you could tell your team to be more physical. I think they need to be more physical on the offensive end, you know, and try to draw more contact and try to get to the line more. And I think that'll be the key, try to get some of their guys in foul trouble. And you have to try to flip that, you know, level out that free throw disparity that's been going on throughout this series. By trying to get yourself to the line, getting the bonus, and try to get, you know, if you can get Kevin Durant in foul trouble, get Draymond in foul trouble, get them out for extended time, make them have to play their bench a little bit more. You can hang more with them. That's because you can't get more physical on defense because they're calling everything.
Talking to Kevin Barrios, who writes for The Bird Writes. That is the SB Nation Pelicans blog. Now, we've seen sort of, even though he's been around the league for a while, we've seen sort of, I don't know, kind of a coming out party for Jrue Holiday. You know, we've seen his kid. We've seen the way he performed against Portland. And you wrote a great article on The Bird Writes that's on your Twitter page at Kevin B for Bounce that Jrue Holiday is the Tim Duncan of Allen Iverson's. Explain that to me.
Well, it, That was sort of like a moment in time that I caught. It was in the Portland series. There was this one play where Jrue Holiday did a crossover step back and then hit a bank shot off of the top corner of the box. And I was like, in that moment, I sent out that text. You know, it just reminded, it was like such an Iverson move, and then it was finished with a Duncan move. And I thought it would just encapsulate that moment, but because the network was so drained in the stadium, like my tweet didn't go out till about 40 minutes later, and I thought, okay, it wasn't going to make sense anymore. But then it just got tons of likes and retweets, and the more I thought about it, the more it sort of made sense. You know, Jrue Holiday's always been a guy that was great on defense. I watched him a little bit when he was in Philly, and I liked that team, that last team he was on. But when he came to New Orleans, he was very passive on the offensive side, even though he was a great defender. Then, of course, he dealt with the leg injuries and the eye socket injury, and then, you know, his wife having a tumor while pregnant, and all of those things that sort of derailed his on the court time and his level of play. Plus, also, you're talking about a team that was had a ton of injuries and was constantly reinventing himself and asking him to jump back and forth between being a point guard, being a shooting guard. And this season he got his defined role, and he got Rondo there, and Rondo sort of instilled this aggressive attitude in him. And now he's a very attacking guard, and he has a lot of Iverson like moves, which we never really saw before. He's attacking the paint like crazy. He's got a great handle, and he's tenacious on defense, which is also, you know, he's a very good, he steals the ball like crazy. I used to call him Mr. Steal Your Ball too, because, you know, he's always stripping people and getting in the lane, which was a very Iverson thing also, but he defends big, and he's very fundamentally sound, and he uses the glass a lot, and he's still a reserved personality, although he's been pretty flashy with his hair this year. So just all these things sort of tied together that sort of made him like a more reserved and fundamentally sound version of Iverson, who can also defend big, which, you know, just sort of tied together in that, tied it all together in that article.
Well, so, sometimes it comes off as a nasty thing, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, but that was some great clickbait right there when I see Jrue Holiday is the Tim Duncan of Allen Iverson. Well done, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. And listen, anything is possible, but I'll tell you what, I think the Pelicans have a lot to build on, and especially looking forward. They've got some questions, but I think New Orleans is going to be the spot come in the NBA Western Conference for a while.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I agree with that, too.
That's Kevin Barrios, who writes for The Bird Writes. That is the SB Nation Pelicans blog. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin B for Bounce, and you can also go to thebirdwrites.com.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Bird Calls on OTG and Nothing But Net here on Dash Radio. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.